Welcome back, everybody, to the X-Cast X-Files Podwatch. This is episode 68 of our whistle-stop tour of the X-Files as we approach new episodes, season 11 in 2018. Today, we're covering Arcadia and Alpha. I'm your host, Carl Sweeney, and I'm joined again by Andrew Blaker. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Carl. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. So we covered Monday yesterday, and we're back today. So, you know, time's not repeating on us. We're ploughing on, and we're in March 1999, which is when these two episodes were first broadcast. Arcadia is the one we're going to talk about first, which is the 15th episode of the sixth season. Written by Daniel Arkin and directed by Michael Watkins, this is the episode in which Mulder and Scully go undercover in a suburban community, posing as a married couple. Just before we get into the episode specifically, Andrew, I was just wondering, where do you stand on the whole shipper divide, debate, whatever you want to call it? Do you regard yourself as a shipper?
Oh boy. Yes, in the sense that, yes, I think that, especially in the, probably up until roughly season seven, I thought that the Mulder-Scully relationship had a natural progression. I mean, you had the whole, from the will they, won't they element of it. Yes, I am a shipper. I think that at the end of, you know, what are we? We're coming into the 11th season next year, two films. I think it would only be natural that they would be in a relationship. So I certainly hope that, you know, whenever the end of the series comes, whenever that comes, we will have Mulder and Scully, you know, together. We don't need to see, you know, it doesn't need to be super obvious. I think that was one of the strengths of, say, I Want to Believe. It wasn't, I mean, it was obvious, and yet it was not the only thing of the film. So I think they should be together. I think it's only natural, having been through what they've been through. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think, I'm not sure I'd describe myself as a shipper, but I think I'm more of a shipper than I would like to think, if that makes sense. So, I mean, yeah. During the original run of the series, that wasn't the reason I was watching or anything. But the reason I asked about shipping here, obviously, is that Arcadia is, I mean, I'd argue it's
the shipper's manifesto, right? It really is.
Yeah. So what do you think about Arcadia then? I mean, from that perspective, but as an episode generally?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite episodes. And to be honest, I think it would be, I am a shipper, so, you know, what exactly does that term mean anymore? People will mean 100 different things by it. But as someone who thinks that not only David and Jillian, but Mulder and Scully have an uncanny chemistry together, I think putting them in this sort of situation, playing, you know, housewife and husband, I think it was fan service, and yet it also was parody, or maybe it was satire. And I just think it works on multiple different levels, and it's funny, and it's one of those episodes that I just like to, you know, return to every once in a while.
Yeah, I think it's a good episode. I think because it's used, because the concept of Mulder and Scully going undercover as a married couple is used to sort of satirize, you know, suburban kind of gated communities, then I think that makes it work. It doesn't come across as kind of like a cheap use of that premise, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And like I said, I think one of the biggest reasons I like it is that it really is very witty, a send-up, really, of these planned communities, which, you know, just blew up everywhere. Well, at least here in the United States, blew up in the mid-90s, and still is probably the number one, you know, housing option for a lot of people. I mean, people like these kinds of communities, and yet, you know, they lock themselves into ridiculous homeowners associations, or the CCNRs, I think they call them in this episode. And so I think for that, I enjoy it on that level.
Yeah, it's interesting that I came across a quote from Gillian Anderson, and she apparently enjoyed this one. She said it was very funny to be portraying these characters, you know, Mulder and Scully as, I think it's Rob and Laura Petrie, isn't it? Which I think that's from an old sitcom from the US
The Dick Van Dyke Show. Yeah.
That's it, yeah. Mm-hmm. So obviously, none of the other characters seem to notice that.
They don't mind. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, that was a little on point, maybe. But it works. It's just a fun episode, I guess. It's almost like you can picture Mulder and Scully in an alternate universe if they were not each so tied to their professions, if they had not found the X-Files. They would, of course, not have found each other, but what if this were another life that they might have chosen? And so I think it's fascinating in that regard.
Yeah, I think possibly that's the reason a lot of shippers like it so much, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people see this as kind of like, you know, they'd be perfectly happy to see a series with Mr. and Mrs. Mulder and Scully.
I think that's probably true, yeah.
Yeah, I personally, I think that it a little goes a long way, and I think that I think actually when they get to season 7, they do an episode Chimera, which I think is quite underrated, which returns to the theme of Mulder in suburbia.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's like it's almost like you get the snapshots of these characters in a life that they did not choose, but it's the whole what if scenario. You know, what if they were in this? You know, and
yeah, obviously their relationship doesn't really follow the template of, you know, first date, second date, whatever. They've got a very unconventional but very rich relationship, haven't they? But the Gillian Anderson quote I said, so she enjoyed it. And it was interesting that when they were promoting the revival episodes, I saw Duchovny and Anderson on a talk show, and David Duchovny brought this one up. He was talking about the monster. I think that you don't really see much of the monster in this one, you know, not like head on. Because again, I think the effects kind of weren't what they wanted, and I think Duchovny refers to it as the poo monster. I'm pretty sure he's talking about this episode.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
I mean, it happened a few times in the run of the series. Folly of Jer is another one, where the monster maybe visually didn't work on set like they wanted, but they managed to shoot around it, and the finished product maybe doesn't suffer from that too much. What did you think of the monster, Andrew?
Yeah, that's the weakest part of the episode. You see enough of them, I think. I mean, they're, you know, for this being a rather lighthearted episode, it's pretty gory. I mean, when you see the effects of what happens to people who, you know, don't change a light bulb, you know, I think if they had shown any more of the monster, yeah, it probably would have been pretty B-rated, and I don't think it would have come off as well. But they keep the monster in the dark largely, and they amp up the parody aspect of the episode, and I think that that's what makes it work.
Of course, it's ascribed to the notion of being a tulpa, I think, isn't it? The Tibetan thought form. That's what they come up with when they talk to Gogolak, who's like the head of the homeowners association.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the notion of the tulpa comes up again in the episode Home Again in the revival series, but in quite a different fashion.
And they've done this, actually, I don't think it's called a tulpa, there might be a slightly different concept, but the season 3 episode Kaddish was very similar. It was the thought form, it was like a mound of dirt, a golem, yeah, it's very similar, it's different heritage and everything, but it's a similar idea, and they used it similarly in the plot of that episode as well. But yeah, Home Again was, and I remember that actually got a little bit of criticism for that reason. They felt like maybe they just recycled the monster, which, I mean, like I said, they've recycled multiple monsters in multiple plots, you know, it's bound to happen, but...
Yeah, I didn't mind it too much, because I'm not 100% certain whether Glenn Morgan would have ever seen Arcadia.
It's true.
I'm not sure whether, you know, how well he knows the final years of the series. I could be wrong. But I felt that Home Again was sufficiently different to this, and I felt that this was sufficiently different to, like you say, a similar-ish thing in Kaddish.
Yes. Yeah, they're different enough to make it work, I think.
And the episode is resolved. I think this must be, I don't know if it's the last Scully voiceover that ends an episode, but here we get a bit of a blast from the past, because we get a voiceover kind of narration to tie things up at the end, which is nice.
Yeah.
Alpha is the 16th episode of the 6th season, written by Jeffrey Bell and directed by Peter Markle, and this is the episode which involves a series of murders linked to a Chinese dog. All right, well, we talked about how you don't see much of the monster in Arcadia. you see plenty of the Wangshang Doll, I think it's called. yeah. You see plenty of the evil dog in Alpha. What did you think of this episode?
It's boring. It's boring to me. I have never been able to get into this episode. I think if you look consistently at every episode the X-Files has done revolving around animals, you're going to be pretty disappointed. You have Fearful Symmetry in season 2. Again, that's pretty widely acknowledged as a pretty lackluster episode. Yes. Teso dos Bichos in season 3 is pretty terrible. I don't think the X-Files does animals very well.
Shapes,
exactly. Season 1. Yeah, so I think this kind of just continues the pattern, to be honest with you. It's a dog. I don't think they do animals very well for some reason. It's something about the show. They just can't pull it off.
I'm trying to think of a counter-argument to that. But, I mean, the ones you mentioned were the ones I was thinking of when you started saying that. Quagmire, would you class that as an animal episode? I mean, it's kind of a...
Well, yeah, there you go. See, that would be probably the exception to the rule.
Yeah, it's maybe not an animal episode.
It relies a lot on comedy. It relies a lot on the MSR, too, I think, so it benefits from that. But yes, Quagmire's a great episode.
I agree, basically. So I think this is a very dull, flat episode, which is not tense at any point, really. Yeah, it's kind of like I was saying on the last episode, that, you know, I'm kind of waiting for these monster episodes in season 6, kind of back to basics, and then when they come, they're not very good, sadly. Actually, in season 6, it's like the experimental stuff a lot of the time, which is the stuff really to look out for. So what's interesting here, we've got this character, Karen Berquist, played by an actress called, I believe it's Melinda, I think it's Coulia, but I'm not really sure how to pronounce her surname, Culea. On the A-Team at one point she was, back in the day. And she's actually married to the episode's director, Peter Markle. So I'm assuming that's kind of how she got the role. I'm not really sure how the casting process worked. So she's the woman who Mulder has struck up some kind of online correspondence with. But I think the problem is when they meet on, you know, when you see them together in the episode, there's not really any, I can't really see any chemistry between the two actors or anything, you know. Mm-hmm. What did you think about Karen Berquist?
As a character, she was unique. You know, you kind of learn a little bit of the mystery behind her. That really was the only, her performance was good. And to me, that was really the most interesting part of the entire episode. The plot didn't hold me. It was hard for me to get in. And by the time you finally do figure out what's going on, like you said, you kind of lost interest in it.
Probably the most significant thing about this episode is that it ends with the I Want to Believe poster being restored to the new office, you know, that's been restored after the fire.
Yes.
It's a bit of a shame that kind of a throwaway episode, I would say. Not a significant episode, really. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a shame the poster stuff didn't find its way into a better episode.
Yes, I agree.
I'm trying to work out how this could have been better, you know. Is it just that it was kind of fundamentally flawed? Or is it that... I think it's quite badly directed. I mean, put it another way, it's not brilliantly directed, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's fair, yeah.
Maybe one of the other directors could have brought some kind of visual pizzazz to it that would have added to it, but I don't know.
There is an alternate ending. Have you seen that?
I'm not sure. What happened? If it's on the DVD, I will have watched it, but I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's on the DVD, and I'm assuming also, you know, the Blu-ray, but I'm looking it up here, actually. So in the alternate ending to the show, as a special feature, Mulder receives Berquist's I Want to Believe poster, hangs it on his wall. Now, that happened in the actual episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that didn't. But then the scene cuts to Officer Khan, C-A-H-N, and it turns out he is actually possessed by the Wan Sheng Dol,
yeah,
as well. So that slight difference basically just added a scene to kind of leave the whole episode more open-ended than it was previously, but...
Kind of to make it more of a quintessential open-ended yeah. X-Files ending or something.
Yeah. Yeah, probably doesn't do anything to the overall quality. It's just worth pointing out.
Yeah. And that I Want to Believe poster, that gets a bit mixed up in the later seasons because I think at the end of The Truth, Doggett takes the poster from the X-Files office. But then by the start of My Struggle, the office, the poster is there waiting on the floor for Mulder to sort of kick it and tear it.
Continuity.
Well, you know, Doggett must have snuck back in, put the poster back for whatever reason. You know?
That's right. We'll find out in season 11. Don't worry.
All right, then. So, Alpha, I mean, any fans planning a rewatch or something, I would say this is one you can safely skip if you're only doing selected episodes. I don't know what you think about it, Andrew. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I definitely think it's one of the weakest in the season.
Yeah, whereas the first episode, Arcadia, I would include on a rewatch. This one I'd probably pass over.
Absolutely.
Get to the next two. All right. Well, thanks, Andrew. Tomorrow, the episodes under discussion are Trevor and Milagro, as we continue towards the end of Season 6. In the meantime, find us on Twitter at @X_cast or on Facebook. If you type in XCast, you'll find our page and our group, X-Files Basement, the XCast podcast fan group. But until next time, trust no one.